Well, as I was saying, this week during VBS, there's been a lot of talk about how God works, and sometimes we see that He works in ways that seem sort of strange to us. For example, when was the last time anybody asked you to build a boat and fill it with animals? Never, right? Anybody here ever get that? No, I don't think so. And then, when was the last time you were told to rescue every animal and put them on the earth because everybody around them was filled with just evil? And the Bible says they were filled with nothing but violence and hatred. And so in the middle of all that, God said, you know what? I'm still going to rescue people. Whenever we see that there's bad things in this world and horrible things, we know that God is the one who will rescue us from them, because we can't rescue ourselves. We've seen it too many times. And rescuing again and using water. When we see Moses, he's escaping with all of the Israelites who were slaves in Egypt, who were being treated horribly because they were so many of them. The Pharaoh was scared of how many were there. And so the Pharaoh started to be harder on them and meaner to them and terrible. And they eventually cried out, God, rescue us. This Pharaoh is killing us. And God sent them Moses. And there was Moses. And he said, well, he went up to the Pharaoh and he said, you need to let my people go. You can't treat them like this. These are God's people and he doesn't like you doing this. And of course, the Pharaoh said, no. And Moses said, if you don't let him go, there's going to be trouble. And Pharaoh said, no. So he got trouble. God said, I told you to do something, and I don't care who you are. Just because you're a king, you think you're in charge of everything. And the fact of the matter is, God said to him, no, you are not in charge. I'm in charge. So God punished the Egyptians for being horrible to his people and for denying God what he told them to do. So now they're leaving. And then we heard what Paisley said, didn't we? I mean, Veda. Sorry, Veda. It was totally Veda. And Veda said, as she reminded us, the Pharaoh looked around and saw these thousands upon thousands of slaves leaving. And they weren't missing them because they were friends. Like, oh man, there goes my friends. They're moving away. I'm going to miss them. It wasn't like that. Right, Veda? Yeah, so I had to ask her, because she's our unofficial expert on it. And he says, wow, we're really sad because we're losing all these people that have been building all of our stuff. We're losing our slaves. So the Pharaoh did what he shouldn't have done. He decided to go back on his word to God after he told God, I'll let them go. So I don't know how quickly he forgot or what, but he sent those 1,200 soldiers to get the Israel back. And then this is where we came to the scene. You guys got to hold the staff I brought with me, right? Remember? He held that up and the water separated, and they had this, they crossed over the Red Sea over to safety. And then the army said, oh, great, look, we have this wonderful trail to chase them on. And as they approached it, God said, I'm going to wash away these evil soldiers who are doing the bidding of the Pharaoh, who only wants to either kill or enslave my people. And he washed them away. Now, water was a fun topic in Jonah. We got to Jonah. And I don't need to convince Kaysen of this. But water was actually how God rescued Jonah. When he was thrown overboard by himself, did the water help? No. It was only God's word saying to the fish, get him, grab him. And the fish went, loop. And for 3 days, Jonah was in there thanking God for rescuing him. Because he said, by myself in this water, I would die. But by your will, by your word, this water became my rescue. It became my hope. And now I await your coming to tell me what to do now. And so when the fish, yes, barfed him onto the beach, God said, now what did I tell you to do? And he said, go to Nineveh. And so he went to Nineveh. And he told them, and this is what's so amazing. He told them, God says you guys are not behaving correctly. God says you're being wicked and awful and terrible. And the king heard this and went, oh no, oh no, oh no. He's right. And so the king dressed himself not in fancy king clothes. He dressed himself in sackcloth, which is an icky, scratchy, yucky thing. And he took the ashes from the fire and he sprinkled them all over himself so to show that he's covered in sin. And he told everybody in Nineveh to do the same thing. And they're all sitting there in this horrible, scratchy clothes and they're covered in black soot, which reminded them of all the wrong they had done. And they said, God, I'm sorry. I haven't been the person you told us to be. We're so sorry. And did God destroy them? No. He gave them those three words that we all long to hear. It is,
I forgive you.
And then we'll remember that even Jonah wasn't happy about that, right? Do you remember that? Remember he wasn't happy. Why wasn't he happy? What did Jonah actually want God to do? Who remembers? It's crazy. Emma, what did Jonah actually want God to do? Yeah, Jonah was wild. He wanted them to go in there and go, yeah, bing. But see, that's not what God wants. God wants us to know him. God wants us to love him. And he, when he hears those words, I am sorry, he responds with, I forgive you. And then all of a sudden we see Nineveh is made whole again. They're restored. The love of God has now brought them back to him, and they now have hope. And then today we see all of this, why it matters at all. We remember Jesus was going, and he was starting out. He was starting out on his ministry to us to bring the kingdom of God to all of us. And how did he begin with it? He goes to John the Baptizer, the one who was washing people to return away from their sins and to return to God. And he goes and Jesus says to him, John, I want you to baptize me. Now, do you hear that? Can you imagine Jesus walking up to you and saying, I need you to do something for me? And John was going, wow. Really? He said, no, 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 Lord, I think you should be baptizing me because you're you and I'm me. And Jesus says, no, this happens because it's supposed to be right. This is what's righteousness. It is fulfilled that I might show these people what washing looks like, what forgiveness looks like, what the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in baptism. And so John said, okay, you're the boss. I'm not the boss. And so Jesus was baptized, and then something very special happened, right? We get to see the Holy Spirit come down. The Holy Spirit looked like a dove and it came down and rested on Jesus. And the Father said from heaven himself, behold, that means look, this is my beloved Son and I am very pleased with him. This is good. Listen to him. So now when Jesus says in Matthew 28 verse 19, go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the
Holy Spirit.
Exactly. That's why we make that sign when we start to pray. We say, in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Because we remember that God rescued us by water in holy baptism. We remember that the Holy Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we remember that when God makes a promise, he keeps it. Even when St. Peter reminded us, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. I mean, St. Mark. St. Peter says, and baptism now saves you. Do you see how throughout the Bible, how God's washing away sin is what saves us? He did it with the ark and the water. He did it with the Red Sea and the evil soldiers. And today, and he's done it for me, for my kids, my family. And today he will also do this for rain and for coal. There he is. And so as we look at this baptism today, I want you to remember something very important. Something very important is happening here. Something that we've been reading about all week. How God rescues us and how simple things like water and his word make a huge difference in our lives. And that, for that reason, we have this great thing to say. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Amen.
Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now confess our faith as found in the words of the baptismal creed, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.